Continuing again. And now what shall we discuss?
Well, I had, first of all, just a small curiosity question. As my fascination with this Joe Rogan character continues, every time I listen to him or see him, I'm like, oh my God, he's so familiar. He's so familiar. He's so familiar. So I can't figure out, am I thinking it just because, you know, I saw him when I was, you know, years ago when he hosted Fear Factor, so is he familiar from that? Or I'm like, I'm trying to figure out who else, you know, what other person essence, what other focus could be from his essence, however you word that. I'm not a focus hunter. But, so I thought maybe it could be this guy I work with, Nick. And then I thought maybe it could be another TV host called Jeff Probst. And then I thought, maybe me. Maybe it could be me. And then, or maybe a mixture of all these. He's so freaking familiar. So who is he? Why, or what is that familiarity I'm tapping into?
Another focus.
Of mine? He's another focus of the vet? Oh, no wonder I like him so much.
Who is this?
Joe Rogan.
Really?
He's a really intelligent, good... No, I'm just... Oh, that is so funny. Interesting. Okay, and did you tell me once I'm observing of Einstein?
Yes.
Oh my God, did you guys hear that? So I wonder, where are all the brains in this focus? That's just what I'm wondering.
Sitting next to you.
Yeah. All right, well, that was just kind of for fun things. All right, so...
That's cool.
The one thing that I was... I don't even know if there's a question, but just thoughts that have been going through my head about... all being interconnected and separation and like more and more I watch the news, you know, especially with all the political climate. I'm like, I just don't want to pay attention to it. Don't want to watch it. It does feel kind of like boredom. And I mean, I still, every once in a while, I'll kind of tiny bit get triggered, not by the news, but like people who will hate maybe Donald Trump or whatever and post all this stuff. And I'm like, don't you realize? I get triggered by the people saying, don't you realize you're perpetuating what you don't like? That's what is triggering me, which obviously then I'm realizing then I've got, you know, then there's a message there to myself as well. But that isn't really that. It's just less and less. It's just becoming less and less of a... I feel like I can work through all that fine. But I was wondering if we're all... sometimes I think to myself, I'm like, okay, so if we're all interconnected, and like Bashar will say, when people will say, oh, that's the government and they do this or that, Bashar will always remind you, you are your government. You are your government. So I'm thinking, if... this is me. I keep looking at the world around me and this chaos and the buy things. I mean, and I'm like, this is me. I keep like trying to, because I'm trying to absorb and comprehend the interconnection and how I'm a part of everything. So I'm like, this is me. And it just feels like whether like I'm ready to let it go or it's old hat, or it's just like something I'm not interested in anymore. I mean, I also look at beautiful stuff and I appreciate, like, I see miracles all over the place. I do, and I'm like, and sometimes that doesn't really even feel like me, too, because it's like so glorious, you know. But it's just interesting to me to, I keep just telling myself, this is me, just as a way to try to understand this, like, we're all, and, like, this is all, I'm giving myself all this reflection. But, I guess the question with the separation was, I am feeling more and more distant from the people arguing and the talking heads on TV. I'm just feeling more and more separated from them. So, So am I, is that becoming less aware or more aware? Or, like, I would think less separation is what we're going towards, the understanding of it. So how come I'm starting to feel less separated or more separated from these aspects? It's just...
I would say that you perhaps are using incorrect words.
Yeah, probably think
that you're not actually moving in a direction of being more separated. But what you are doing is you are objectively choosing what is important to you and what isn't.
Oh, okay.
And therefore paying less attention naturally to what isn't important and paying more attention to what is important, which you naturally do. You always pay more attention to whatever you deem to be important. If you give less importance to something, you pay less attention to it naturally.
So it's just my importance are shifting.
Yes. Which is part of becoming more self-aware. Yes.
Because you're aware of what is important.
Yes. And in that, the expressions, the subjects that perhaps were significantly important to you previously, you begin to look at those subjects and evaluate why are they important to you. And in evaluating why they were important to you, then you begin to recognize why they aren't important to you.
Right. Which I think I recognize. I think I'm definitely recognizing that more and more.
Yes. And therefore you pay more attention to what actually is important to you. And you pay less important in your attention in relation to what isn't actually directly affecting you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the reason that I have discussed with all of you the subject of principles. Because for a significant time frame working most individuals' lives, they give tremendous importance to principles. But when you become more self-aware and you actually observe what these principles are, why are they so important?
Yes, when you say it's the principle of it all, usually you're doing something that's self not benefiting.
Or it may be a benefit, but you might not actually be engaging it.
Yeah.
Or it is, in many, many situations, an idea. A principle is an idea that you attach value to. But why? And generally speaking, the reason that you attach value to it is because that is what you are taught is good or better.
Why'd you get her? I think she likes John. Alright, going back to this separate, all interconnected thing, or all this interconnection thing. You know, there's a saying that we say, no one's free until everyone's free. Which I don't know if I agree with. But, okay, so obviously you can understand from a, like, just pay for, you know, this is one, focus of attention, pay it, what is my expiration here, what is important to me, trust in that. Like, I do believe that if I do what is best for me, the byproduct of that is what's best for everything. I think I really believe that. I mean, sometimes you're like, oh, you don't understand. But I think I really believe that.
Yes.
And,
so that I would express that there are many of you that have moved in that direction, that you genuinely do accept that, and that you do believe that, because you can see evidence of it.
Yes. So, what do you say, and like, so if everything exists too, so, but we're all interconnected, so if there is, like, in the world going, you know, things that are people killing each other and stuff like that, that is a part of us. And so we're all interconnected. And it's just really a matter of...
Here is the entrance of principles. What you deem to be valuable, what you deem to be right, what you deem to be good.
Yeah.
Here is the presentment of your constructs in relation to duplicity. Duplicity in itself isn't bad.
Yeah.
It is a belief system that allows you individually to express, develop, explore your own guidelines for you.
Yeah.
But in that, you have also considerably distorted that, and you use it in relation to principles. And those principles are what you deem to be absolutes in good and bad and right and wrong. What is righteous and what isn't righteous. And you set certain ideas as being considerably valuable, and that they are to be significantly prized, as I have expressed, one of those being independence and one of them being equality, both of which can at times be beneficial to you, but they can also be tremendously limiting and not beneficial. They can be very narrowing. Equality is a subject that individuals very much defend and prize as being ultimately important, and that you should ultimately strive for equality in everything, which denies all of your uniqueness, all of your difference, and it emphasizes that difference is bad or wrong. Therefore, standing on the principle that equality is best, that it is of ultimate importance, also generates significant limitations. As you become more self-aware, you are reevaluating naturally what is important and what isn't important. You are naturally automatically reevaluating, and not in the form of equations or long and arduous thinking processes, but naturally and in a manner of speaking, automatically, you are reevaluating merely through experience what is actually important to you. And in doing so, you are neutralizing many of the constructs that may have been considerably important to you previously, and they become less important.
Yeah, I've definitely felt that. I mean, I've had that experience.
Yes. And you don't have to work at
no,
it.
No, no.
It is not an action that you require a formula for and that you must be working very hard to achieve. No, it happens naturally. It occurs automatically.
So now let's focus on this concept that you want, not the concept, but what you want to drive home to us. Control. Trust would look like flow, like flowing with your life, right? Kind of, or no?
In part, not always. You can be trusting and you may be flowing, but it may not necessarily be smooth. Flow doesn't always mean smooth. But when you are trusting, you aren't struggling. Even if what you are engaging isn't necessarily smooth, you aren't struggling with it.
You're accepting.
Yes, in a manner of speaking, yes.
So it doesn't mean, and you mean struggle as in resisting it, right? Or not struggle as in difficult, because something could be difficult and you could still be trusting, right?
Correct. Correct. And that is the point, is that, yes, you can be generating some action that can be difficult, but that doesn't mean that you aren't flowing.
Yeah.
Struggle is involving control, and in that, what did I express is trust.
Believing.
It is.
I said not to say believe.
Fascinating how quickly you forget.
We do. We just had this. That's why you had to repeat.
This is the reason.
This
that
is why you repeat.
I
early onset Alzheimer's.
To express with you, and that I repeat, and you complain that I repeat, but you don't remember.
Okay, so tell me once again. I'll remember this time.
The absence
of doubt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was kind of listening. The absence of doubt.
Yes.
The absence of doubt. That's why practicing works better than trying. Because trying has the element of doubt. Practice is just perfecting, saying, okay, I got it, is investigating, okay, when I do this, this happens. When I do this, this happens. There's no doubt in that. That's
correct.
Just exploration.
Correct.
See, I do listen to you sometimes, Elias.
I know you listen to mine all the time. That doesn't necessarily mean you always remember.
Yeah. See, I forgot that part. So, anyhow, does anybody want to ask anything? Are you want to say anything else? You have more questions? Where's your list? You had your list. Okay. are we going to be creating sunshine tomorrow? I'm not controlling the sunshine.
Just control it.
I'm just trusting. Actually, let me think about this. I want to get in the vibe for sunshine, the trusting vibe. I'm just... That's interesting to me. The trusting vibe.
And what is that?
Well, that's a very good question. Yeah, not doubting. Oh, well, then I was almost there. I mean, obviously, I'm not completely there, but when Bonnie was saying, oh, we can all do it together because we did it before. Remember that one group session we did it? Yes, and I'm like, we're all there. And I was like, you know, I would be very little surprised that we did this. So that's pretty much, getting closer.
Yes, it
like
is.
Like, if it happens, I'm going to be like, hey, that's how we roll. I can't say I'm 100% there yet, if you want me to be perfectly honest, but I'm getting closer.
If you buy an umbrella, it's guaranteed it'll be sunny.
Like sunshine.
And your question?
Okay. Yes.
Well, I don't know if I so much have questions, but like, I had heard, and I guess I kind of believe that, you know, people like take inventions or innovations or whatever that that people just—it's kind of like. People are good at like improving things that they see or work with or whatever, but like, but ideas are sort of incremental and
meaning
that they're not a big stretch from wherever you are, you know, now, like what you can see today.
That depends.
Yeah, and actually along those lines. That's why one of the reasons that Einstein impresses me the most, because he came up with this...
Precisely.
...thought idea that they couldn't even test, you know, until years later. And it just turns out he was right. And
precisely.
Yeah, and so...
Now listen, one moment. What did Einstein prize above all?
Imagination.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That is correct. That is the key. That is the key. In what you are expressing in relation to invention, that it seems that most invention doesn't deviate too far from what already is or what is already known.
Right.
That depends. But when individuals genuinely engage their imagination, they can be very creative and inventive and create very new expressions. I would express to you that ...50 years prior to the genuine engagement of your space program, the idea of stepping onto your moon wasn't even an idea. It was not even a thought. individuals, incorporated thoughts and imaginings of traveling to other galaxies, other planets, not to step on the moon. But within your previous century, individuals incorporated the imagination of walking on your moon, touching it physically, and that inspired inventions that didn't exist, and no semblance of those inventions existed either. I would express to you, your 20th century was tremendous for imagination and invention in the manner in which you are expressing of not a variation upon something else, or not a slight deviation of some already existent expression. Within your 20th century, you generated tremendous movement in relation to imagination and invention. You, as a species, have generated seafaring ships for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. This is an invention that is very common to your species. And although the design of ships has varied through the centuries, basically, they have been the same in their basics. They float. They are all above the water. Submarines are an entirely different imagination. Submarines moving through the water, underneath the water, are an entirely different invention, which you incorporated the expressions of ships above the water for thousands and thousands of years. But within slightly over 100 years, you have the invention of a craft that moves through the water, not above the water. That was a tremendous invention. Einstein and his imagination was a tremendous inspiration, a tremendous gift to your species. The factor that he was bold enough and courageous enough to express his imagination in the face of such tremendous opposition was what the gift was. You have that same ability. You all do. You have tremendous imaginations. You think that imagination isn't real, and therefore you don't exercise it as much. But it is very real. And as I have expressed many times, it is an avenue of communication. This is an avenue in which you communicate to yourself. You give yourself information through imagination, and that sparks inspiration, and that is what invention is born of, is inspiration. But inspiration comes from imagination. This is what Einstein knew. This is what I have expressed to all of you repeatedly, the importance of imagination, because you all have the ability to be tremendous in what you can invent. Another tremendous leap in new invention are your computers. Mm-hmm. And your mobile phones.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing.
Your mobile phones that are what? Many devices in one small package. Your computers, your communication device, your photographs. You can engage so many actions with the invention of this small device. And with your computers, you have moved in the direction of imagination, of becoming more and more and more and more compact. More compact that does more.
Like, we will be, like, I keep imagining, like, a screen that it'll just come up and we'll be able to use it, and then it'll be, like, down again. And I mean, we all know that. That's going to happen.
Yes, it will, because it already is.
Oh, well, there you go. See, that's some fast creating there.
And when I began speaking objectively to all of you, which all of you are aware in physical time was a mere 20 plus years past. In that amount of time, you have moved from your science fiction of replicators to science fact of three-dimensional imaging and copiers that actually create replications of anything. They can replicate anything. They can replicate human tissue. They can replicate what you think of as organic biological expressions, or they can replicate cement. They can replicate anything. What you, in less than 25 years, what in a quarter of a century you thought of as being complete fiction is now actual fact and is being used. This is the power of imagination. This is the power of inspiration. And it isn't dead. And you are, as humans, continuing to develop expressions, inventions that have not been before and aren't merely a slight variation of what was before. You are continuing to create new and more advanced expressions in your reality, inventions that are tremendous. They're glorious. Because you are allowing yourselves to reflect in what you create yourselves and your abilities. And that ties you to your previous subject of your artificial intelligence. That is one of your next tremendous steps, which you have already begun.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't feel like it's that far away, really.
It isn't.
Yeah.
Because it has already begun.
Yeah.
And it is already significantly in process.
You know, I was listening to an interview with Tesla.
Elon Musk.
I mean, Elon Musk, not Tesla. But, and he was talking about, like, having these chips inserted in our brains so our brains could become more computer-like and access information-like. So that, I thought that was very interesting, like, we would be merging ourselves with artificial intelligence. Which is very interesting. I don't have a question about that, but it's very interesting.
And I would express that the next step from that, which is already being considered and already being engaged, is attempting to quantify consciousness and therefore have the ability to insert consciousness into something that isn't biological, that won't die.
Yeah, like that movie. Oh, That is time. That is a little bit scary. But, okay, so if you can, let me ask you about consciousness as an action. But is one piece of consciousness contain everyone's consciousness? Even though a piece isn't an accurate word.
Correct.
But if you can insert consciousness into a machine,
then is it a machine any longer?
And does that, would that machine have access to what part, what awareness? Like, consciousness, is it aware of everything? It's hard
everything
to talk.
That is.
It's so, it's very hard to talk about consciousness since we don't know. It's like, what, you can't say it. You can't say.
But you do, because
I don't have another word
for
it.
Your language.
Yeah.
But in that, I agree. It is difficult in relation to the confines of your language to accurately discuss consciousness. But in relation to the factor of no separation, one aspect of consciousness, yes, would hold all of the knowledge and experience of all of consciousness. I would express that in relation to experience or knowledge, it is a matter of, yes, every aspect of consciousness holds all that is known to the present moment. Because it is always expanding, and therefore it is always generating more and new. Therefore, when you say, does consciousness know everything? It knows everything that is to be known at this moment. But everything is always changing and expanding, and therefore there are always unknowns to be discovered or to be created. Not that they already exist, they don't. What exists, yes, as consciousness, you have access to all of that. In every dimension, in every capacity. But what doesn't exist yet is to be discovered and is to be invented.
I think I'm becoming a little more okay with it.
What I would say to you is a significant part of your fears is merely the fear of the unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the fear that you express, if you actually consider and evaluate, you yourself used the example of a sociopath or a psychopath. These are individuals that are operating within your reality in a different reality. They express a different reality from what is generally accepted in your physical reality. They choose to be physically participating, but in a very different manner and with different blueprints. They actually are operating with different blueprints from you. In that, they are very different from you. Although they may be the same species as you, mm-hmm. their reality is very different from your own. You incorporate a type of fear of them, but not a tremendously real fear.
Yeah.
Because you don't actually believe that you will encounter them.
Yeah.
Most of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of you do incorporate a very real fear of these other individuals, and they generally will encounter them. Mm-hmm. But most of you don't. And that is because you don't actually believe that you will ever encounter them. And you don't give them much importance. They aren't a prominent piece of your reality. You don't pay much attention to them at all, other than as an idea. But if you did, you would be apprehensive and perhaps fearful of them because it is unknown to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what is unknown is unpredictable. And what is unpredictable is definitely, for most of you, not safe. And that frightens you.
That's kind of, wanting to know is kind of an element of control too, right? Or no?
It can be. Mm-hmm. It isn't automatically, but it can be. It depends on what the motivation is.
Because just as we've been talking, and myself, I've been thinking, like, with AIs or whatever, my fear, like, a fear because it's like, oh, I don't know what happened. You know, what would they do? Would they do this? Like, it is unfamiliar. And then when I figure I don't have to know or whatever, then the fear kind of goes away a little bit.
Precisely, but it is also a matter of evaluating and being aware of yourselves.
Yeah.
If you generate an alternate intelligence.
That's a better name.
Hmm.
If you create...
We can keep the same acronym, too.
Yes. And if you create that type of AI, and you create that to be generating, self-perpetuating, and growing, and increasing its own intelligence, and moving in that direction... You have no reason to be afraid of it if you aren't giving a reason to be afraid of it.
Yeah.
If you are creating it to be a weapon,
yeah,
then you have a reason to be afraid of it.
Yeah.
If you are creating it and you are abusive to it, then perhaps you do have reason to be afraid of it. Because it will be imitating and emulating what you do. Very much similar to your comparison with the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
The masters had reason to be afraid of the slaves because of how they engaged them. And what you do is affecting of the whole, and therefore affects you also.
Which makes also people think then, well, yeah, that's true. That's why a lot of people are like, we've got to get rid of, you know, that's where the social justice warriors come in and wanting everybody else to do this. When, yes, we all know it starts with ourselves. And I actually think I'm at a pretty good place with that, knowing. I mean, I still tell other people what to do sometimes, but I'm aware of it, and it's getting less. But I'm like, but even myself, I like, okay, I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it, and I'm going to be who I want to be, and I'm going to put the energy out that I want to put out, and quote-unquote not worry about the other world. But there's still that part of you like, ah, like, okay, if I go back into slavery times, I might say, okay, I'm going to treat humans the way I want to be treated or whatever, or I'm going to be compassionate, I'm not going to try to control another human being, but the rest of the world, they are kind of doing it, and I'm in this rest of the world, you don't feel very powerful. I know you, I know.
Such as the abolitionists, and you are the abolitionists of now.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Because...
I like that. Yeah.
You are...
Yeah.
In a manner of speaking, moving against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
You are the abolitionists of your time now, not in relation necessarily to race or slavery, but in relation to ideas and in relation to actions of being self-aware of paying attention to what you do, not being concerned with what everyone else does.
Right.
Not attempting to right the wrongs of everyone else, and therefore continuing to perpetuate the judgment of the wrongs of everyone else, but rather turning your attention to yourselves and expressing an example by doing.
Yes.
And not concerning yourselves with those expressions, which brings us back once again to the principles of what is important, those expressions of equality and independence that you value so tremendously and that you fight so vehemently for, even if it isn't for your own.
Yeah.
You express forcing it onto other individuals and expressing that they should value it also. Mm-hmm. Everyone should value and be equal and independent. Mm-hmm. I would say that even in your physical country that you occupy now, if you genuinely were to engage the writings of your forefathers, they didn't express independence and equality in the manner that you think of it. They recognized differences. They recognized variations. They didn't express that everything and everyone was the same and therefore all equal in the manner of sameness. And their expression of independence was not the same as you express it. It wasn't the same of being separate. They very much prized and valued community and connection. In this, you express independence as being very separate, that you are autonomous to yourself, not autonomous as a nation, not autonomous as a community or society, but as an individual. That you are so separate that you are the expression of independence ultimately if you are completely separate and alone. Yeah. And therefore self-sufficient. You are never alone. And you can't be self-sufficient because you aren't alone, because you aren't entirely separate. That is an illusion.
You know, going back to the equality thing, I wonder if the fight for equality isn't necessarily, and maybe this is just from my perspective, but not to make everybody the same as much as to give everybody or to give someone who wanted the opportunity to give you more choices. Like if you're a woman and you're told you can't play football, most women don't want to play football, but if I'm a woman and I want to play football, she should have the right to play football. I mean, that's kind of, I get that, and it seems to me to be okay. Like everybody should be able to do what they want to do. And, you know, to a certain extent, that is what this fight for, I mean, I wonder, maybe people like the women's rights or they might, you, so a woman might get caught up in it and maybe she did want to stay home and have babies, but she thought, oh, I should be out and getting a job because that is the thing I should do. I could see where that is not as beneficial, but maybe the woman who didn't want to stay home and have babies, but she did want to go out. So there is benefits to it in my mind.
There are. Yeah. I am not disputing that.
Yeah.
What I am expressing is that what you have done is you have swung the pendulum from one end to the other. And in that, you haven't settled in the balance.
Yeah.
In the middle. You have moved from one extreme to another extreme.
Yeah.
And in doing so, I'm not expressing that that is good or bad.
Yeah.
What I am expressing is that, first of all, it denies choices.
It does.
It limits choices. And in your zeal to generate equality without balance, you actually create the expression that difference is bad. Therefore, you generate trades.
Yeah.
You trade some choices for other choices, but you don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to sacrifice some choices for other choices. You do that when you move in extremes. And you have done that, I would say, within also this past century and one half, you have generated a tremendous amount of movement, but you have moved in extremes in relation to yourselves as people, yourselves as your species, as humans. You have moved in extremes. And you have used the subjects of equality and independence to fuel that in extremes. And in doing so, you have generated sacrifices. You have created trades. You trade one expression for another expression. And you aren't necessarily pleased with what you have traded. You have traded actual physical functions for ideals. And in that, you have affected how you function as humans, as people, in opting for and prizing so tremendously those expressions of equality and independence in extreme. Now, you can prize equality and independence in balance and recognizing that equality isn't an absolute. That difference is to also be prized and recognized. That cooperation is equally as important as independence.
Mm-hmm.
That moving together is equally as important as being independent. That you don't have to sacrifice feeling that you are alone to be expressing independence. That you don't have to assimilate and be the same to be equal. Because you aren't equal. You are different. In many, 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 many manners, you are different in genders. You are different in cultures, you are different in races, you are different for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be all the same. And one of the traits that you are creating with all of this equality is a new confusion in what I expressed to you previously in relation to gender.
I know, yeah.
In creating non-genders.
I know, I was like, can I?
To be more equal.
Wow.
Which is creating more confusion.
Mm-hmm.
These are sacrifices that you make to express in certain manners that you prize. And are they actually that important?
Not to me. Okay, the buzzer went off, so we better let Mary come back.
Mary left.
It was very fun conversations, as always. As always.
As always. And we shall, with no doubt, have much more to discuss.
Yes, we shall.
Very well. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting and our further discussions. In tremendous lovingness to each and all of you, and in great anticipation of our soon meeting.
Yes.
Yay.
Bonjour.
Au revoir.